ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey folks, welcome back to another week of Wrecking and Racing. I am your host, the Gas Man, with my co-host with the most,
Lugs.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back, as always. And of course, Lugs and I are enjoying our wonderful Busch beer. Let me pop it open real quick.
Pop it.
Yeah. So we actually have a special episode for you tonight. We have a special guest joining us in a little bit. Her name is Amber Balkin. She's going to be the star of the new CMT series coming in early 2019, Racing Wives. And she's also an aspiring up-and-coming NASCAR driver. So listen in. Stay tuned for a fantastic interview. It actually was very fun. We already recorded it, so I'll throw it in here in a few minutes. But it was actually a really fun interview.
So do her a favor. Go check her out. Go follow her Twitter, Instagram, Facebook page. Like all of her stuff.
Yeah, she's a true entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So everything that she has success-wise, where she's at in life, is all from her hard work. She runs her own company. Like, whenever I was setting this up, there was no PR person. It was all her.
Mm-hmm.
You have to respect that.
Yeah, exactly.
So please, guys, pay attention to her, follow her, like her. She's actually, I didn't know what to expect from the interview. It blew me away. She was fantastic interview. Fantastic.
Yeah, she was.
It was great. And she now has fans, I would say, from me and Lugs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would say she's a friend of the show.
Yeah, we hope.
yeah, hopefully we didn't scare her off or something. She says she'll come back on when she's big and famous. We'll see at that time. But again, it was a fantastic episode. So getting into this crazy week, as fans, as always, we thank you, we love you, we appreciate you. You are the reason we're doing this. You are the reason we're getting people like Amber joining us. But this week was good old Bristol. It's not Bristol of the last couple years. It's Bristol of old. Yeah. It is Bristol that we actually desire to watch.
It's getting there, man. It's getting there.
Yeah, the last two races have been great.
Yep.
Great. So for the ones who don't know, of course, everybody in this world knows, Kurt Busch won the race. Completely unexpected, was it not, Lugs?
I absolutely agree with that. I don't think anybody really had him picked out.
He wouldn't have been in my top 10, I don't think.
No.
I know. So, congratulations to Kurt. Very well deserved.
Which maybe we're discrediting that team or organization too much. I don't know.
Well, you know, it kind of, I don't want to say we wrote him off. A little bit we did. For one, is there's rumors he's going to other places.
Yeah.
So, I think in a way, we, in our mind, wrote him off because if you're going to get shuffled to the side, why put much effort into it?
Kurt's the kind of guy that, you know, it doesn't shock me when he comes out and wins, but
yeah.
I just don't, for whatever reason, I say that, and I think I picked him for my win at Sonoma, if I remember correctly. But he's just, you know, he hasn't been, I don't think, up there challenging for the wins as much as, you know, some of the other big three and whatnot. So, I don't know, for him to just come out of nowhere and take the win, that was impressive. I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I you know, happy for them, happy for Stuart Haas. I mean, you know, I'm happy for the whole race. And here's a couple of reasons why, Lux. One is that we had Chris Buescher up there close for the lead.
Yeah.
We had fighting. We had three-wide racing at Bristol. Mm-hmm. We had I think, 21 or 23 lead changes.
Three-wide racing didn't always work out,
no,
but it was exciting.
But hey, it worked out for some fans.
Yeah.
But it was just constantly exciting. There wasn't too many lulls or too many points where you weren't a little on the edge of your seat watching.
We need more Bristol.
We need more Bristol.
More short tracks.
So let's break into this right now. So short tracks. We need more short tracks. But we can't get a short track until when, Lugs?
2020.
2020 is the earliest we can potentially get a short track. And NASCAR's already talking about adding short tracks to the schedule. Now, in between now and then, what is NASCAR looking to do to appease the fans? They're looking to change different aero packages and stuff like that to try to make it more exciting. So they're screwing around with the rules now to modify until they get the more short tracks. Is that the right thing to do?
I mean, for the interest of the sport and business and sponsors, I mean, I'm not mad at them for trying it. I mean, you got to try something, right?
Yeah, you definitely had to try something. Definitely. So,
I mean, you're at risk of alienating your core fan base, but at the same time, the core fan base bitches too much and say that they don't watch anyways. So, why not?
Yeah, true. I mean, no, you are right. So, this brings me up a whole different set of questions and stuff in my mind. I'm sorry if I'm all over the place, folks. But people are saying more short tracks. NASCAR's declining. NASCAR this, NASCAR that, right? So my question to you, and some people are out over there saying that NASCAR fans are whining too much, stuff like that. So in your opinion, Lugs, are
they do.
Okay, I was going to ask, are they whining? Or are they just kind of disgruntled a little bit because the product hasn't changed enough? It's changed, but has it changed enough to keep them? We're all short attention span people nowadays. We need that new thing in our face. And maybe it wasn't presenting it. So maybe this will help. I don't know.
I think they just bitch too much. I don't. Okay. I mean, the product has changed a lot. Yeah, so I mean, I don't understand.
Time will tell how things go, so... and on the flip side, let's switch over to another thing that fans bitch about.
Real quick, before you go there, Gasman.
Okay.
I want to find something. Give me 2 seconds here.
You want to find something?
That
it's called... Yes. Never mind.
Hold on. 2 seconds. I'm pulling up my notes. Hold on. I think... All right. So speaking of change, right? I saw this article the other day. So Kurt Busch, that was his 6th win at Bristol. Were you aware of that?
Yes, I was.
So... That's cool. Good for him, right? But do you remember the last time that he won at Bristol?
No.
It was 2006.
So 12 years ago.
Yes. I didn't realize it had been so long ago. But back then, let me read a couple things off to you here. So Jimmy Johnson hadn't claimed his first of 7 championships yet. Let that sink in for a minute. Okay, he did go on to win that season.
What year was that, 2006?
Yeah.
I got something for you that happened in 2006. At the NASCAR Awards Banquet in 2006, Kyle Busch, who finished 10th in points that year, gets in front of everybody and calls his girlfriend by the wrong name.
Was it
Bam!
That?
It was that year, the 2006 banquet.
I thought it was more recent than
He called his girlfriend, I think her name was Erica. And Erica, this is right before he started dating Samantha, he was dating a girl named Erica Dewey. I think he called her Kim, if I remember right. And then Erica and him broke up when he started dating Samantha, who's from Indiana, by the way. And Erica started dating Lance McGrew. Do you remember him? Dell Jr.'s old crew chief?
Yeah. Okay.
So she went from Kyle Busch to Lance McGrew.
So... Couple more things on that. So in the field for the Bristol race, there were 3 rookies. You know who they were?
Rookies in 2006. Denny Hamlin.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Keselowski.
Nope.
Damn. I don't know the other 2.
He contended for the win. I'll give you a hint.
The rookie did? Or Brad?
On Saturday night, they contended for the win.
Truex.
He's won, so you got 2 out of 3.
Okay, and Lars, not Lars.
But that's not who I was referring to. It was another contender.
Okay, well, there's so many contenders for the win.
Yeah, Kurt's teammate. We had a Q&A with him in Daytona. Clint.
Oh, Boyer completely skipped my mind. I'm like, what?
Yeah, Clint. Okay. Also in the field, Sterling Marlin, Terry Labonte, Mark Martin, Jeremy Mayfield, and Kyle Petty. Ken Schrader was driving the number 21 Ford for the Wood Brothers.
Hey, I follow Jeremy Mayfield on Twitter.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, no problem. Actually, I should say our Wrecking Racing account follows Jeremy Mayfield on Twitter.
Nextel was the title sponsor for the Cup Series and would remain so through 2007. Sprint took over in 2008. And the much-hated Car of Tomorrow was exactly a year away from debuting.
Woo-hoo.
So how about that? Oh, and Chase Elliott was only 9 years old. So let that sink in for a minute. How times have changed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let's kind of dial it back a little bit, okay? Let's talk about Kyle Busch for a second. By far, the most polarizing person in the Cup garage. Would you agree?
Yes.
So is he good for the sport?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I complain about him. I think we all bitch and moan about him a little bit. I hear people saying all the time, oh, fans just hate him. They want him to stop and showing his personality. Hold on. I don't think fans are saying stop showing your personality, Kyle. I think people are saying stop being a dick. Right? I mean, I'm not saying that they're against people showing their personalities. I don't think the fans are. They're just a fan of they're against the way abrasiveness he is.
Yeah, yeah, and that was evident in his post-race interview when they were asked about his up and down good night, and he was just basically like, "What do y'all know what you're talking about?" You know?
Yeah, and it's just typical Kyle fashion there, and I kind of get where the way Kyle is and where he comes from, and the fans hate him. Why? Because I'm a dick. And you've worked for me before. Let's just throw this out there. You worked for me before. I'm a little rough around the edges. I don't tell
things how they are.
Exactly. And people can't stand that. So they're not saying, "Gas man, be quiet because you're a mean guy." They're saying, "Gas man, be quiet. Don't say anything to me because you're a dick." So it's nothing against my personality. It's against the way I say things and do things. I'm not like that anymore. That's back in a previous life.
I'm sure you're not.
So, fans, am I a dick? I don't think so. So what I'm getting to is that people on Twitter, Facebook, etc., keep going on about this whole Kyle Busch, and fans need to shut their mouth because they don't want him to show his personality. We need his personality. Again, we do need his personality. There's nothing wrong with his personality. It's his abrasiveness.
Plus, it gives us something to talk about.
Heck yeah, every week. Every week we got something to talk about.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Well, speaking of Kyle, did you hear about the post-race fan altercation?
I did. And a fan was like shoving him, and then Kyle got in his face.
Yeah, basically, you know, kind of puffed his chest out at the guy. And then, you know, authorities kind of got in between him and broke him up. But, you know, I don't blame Kyle for that situation. He was being heckled by a fan.
Yeah, but he has to be the bigger man in that situation.
And
every celebrity goes through that.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, he didn't. It's not like, and people are painting it like this, that he got off his golf cart and went and confronted the guy. No, he was already off his golf cart. He was signing autographs for the fans, which in itself says something, that you just raced 500 laps at Bristol.
Well, he didn't make 500 laps, let's be honest. Maybe 450.
Okay, so he didn't, but he was about to.
Yes.
And that's coming from two laps down. So, regardless, he had an up and down night. He didn't get the finish he wanted, and he still stopped and signed autographs for fans, and then he got heckled. So, it could have been much worse, but, you know, just shame on that fan for acting like that.
Yeah, and, it ruins it for the bunch.
It makes us all look bad.
Yeah,
it makes
absolutely.
The whole sport look bad.
Absolutely.
And it puts in jeopardy, you know, our ability to get those hot passes or cold passes and get close to the drivers. Yeah. So screw that guy.
Yeah, exactly. And talk about Kyle and respect him as a wheel man. Look, you mentioned him being two laps down. He came in, not only was he two laps down, he came back and contended for the lead.
He was almost three. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy, you cannot go again, or you cannot say anything against his talent. The guy is super
and
talented.
That car was pretty banged up.
Yeah, it was. And now, unfortunately, I don't think he did it on purpose, but still had a lot of people pissed off. The whole incident with him getting into Truex.
I don't think that was purposeful. Why would it be?
Yeah, and one thing I actually enjoyed was Truex Gallon's car kicking his car. Yeah, I'd like to see that emotion. He's such
a
calm guy.
You don't see that from Truex.
No,
often.
Exactly. That's why I'd like to kind of see that firing. Kind of
like Johnson, a little vanilla.
Yeah.
Don't get much reaction out of him.
And I was just seeing that. Man, it hit me hard. Bristol. Mm-hmm, Bristol's back, babe. We start to see those kind of emotions, Bristol's back.
We saw some wrecks and stuff, and you saw some people get into each other, but you didn't see any of the moving each other deliberately.
I don't think they had to. A little bit. In the back end of the day, you can only pass by...
To move them.
Yeah.
Use the
you can actually pass by taking a different line. We've seen the high lane and low lane both working. Not the middle, the high and low working.
That was cool to see, you know, and both of them would get choked up, or they'd get even, or they'd get, you know, both come up to a lap car in front of them or something, and create some cool drama.
Yeah,
so.
And in the amount of saves that people had throughout the night, it was amazing. I think that maybe as a whole, collectively, right now might be the most talented group of racers we've ever had in the sport. As a whole, even the worst of the worst cars is a talented person behind the wheel.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree.
Yeah, so definitely a lot of takeaway from Bristol, but man, the bottom line is, it's back. It was exciting. It was fun.
It was.
F the ratings. F whatever people are saying about the sport. Damn it, the product was good on Saturday night.
It was. It was, absolutely. And I want to give kudos to the gas men over here. They moved the start time up. Maybe you saw this on Facebook. They moved the start time up by about an hour.
I completely forgot about it.
And Gasman here, it slipped his mind, but luckily he's got good old lugs here. I text him. And he's such a devout NASCAR fan. He was headed about 15 miles away from his home when he got my text message, realized the race came on, dropped everything he was doing, where he was going,
yep.
and turned around and came back home to watch the race. So
yeah,
that's...
And honey, I'm sorry, the bathroom remodel has been delayed by at least a day.
So that tells you what kind of fan Gasman is.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I was on my way to Lowe's to buy a couple things for this bathroom remodel I'm doing. You texted me, I was like, ah, shit! I literally just pulled a U-ey in the middle of the highway and headed right back home.
You didn't spin a couple donuts or anything first, did you?
No, okay. No, I didn't go try to do a number three or something. No. I went straight home. I did turn on the radio. I'm like, oh, yeah, what the hell was I thinking, Lug? What was wrong with me?
I don't know, Ian.
I don't know either. I was so excited about this race, and I freaking pull a rookie move like that.
It's like missing the driver's meeting, man.
Yeah, right, right. And there's just so much excitement. Like, Harvick was up there leading, and Ricky Stenhouse was contending, and I was looking like a stud on my picks. And then they both choke.
And then that went away.
Yeah, that went away. How'd your picks do?
Pretty good, actually. I had Blaney. He came home seventh. He actually was up there contending, and he kind of got in the wall a little bit late. But he came home seventh, and then my other pick was Kyle, and we all know how that finished. He actually came home, clocked in at 20th. I don't know if he actually finished the race.
I don't think he did. I don't think he finished the race. So I had Harvick, who finished 10th, and Stenhouse, who finished 24th. Both, again, were up there contending. And so was Lugs. Lugs, his was up there leading as well. So here's an interesting thing. Lugs in front of you is a list of finishers for the race, right?
Mm-hmm.
The big three, 10th, 20th, 30th. Yeah. I thought that was funny.
Combined, they only led 8 laps all night. Interesting.
I always say it's the big three over with, but we all know it's not.
No, it's not. But that was the least amount of laps that those three drivers have led in a race since the opening Daytona 500.
So that race and how exciting it was, how do you think it fared on the fan watch?
Oh, so, like ratings? Well, before we get there, let's talk about one other thing. Sure. Last thing. The close stage finishes, man.
Oh, yeah. Harvick really pushed there, and it was great.
Yeah, those were awesome.
It was great.
Blaney and him basically tying.
And then Kurt and Clint, and Clint's like a fucking teammate or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't know we were supposed to bang into each other, which I didn't even ever see any contact, so I don't know what he was referring to there. But just... awesome racing through and through, even the stage finishes that Bristol delivered.
Yeah. Yeah. So, first we'll talk about the actual stands. Bristol holds, about 150,000, 160,000 people?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Okay. So, roughly, this is a rough guesstimate, there's roughly 92,000 fans at Bristol. That's a lot. But there was over 60,000 empty seats.
I did notice that a few times on the TV. Kind of empty.
It's huge. So the other thing is TV ratings.
But, again, there was a threat of rain.
That's why they
moved it up an hour.
Absolutely. And we all know that the racing is – not the racing, but the fan attendance is down, et cetera.
It is. But I'm guilty of that. If there's a couple tracks that are around here close to us that are within a 2-3-4-hour drive – and I've weighed that before. I'll wait to the last second. If I'm just going to buy general admission tickets, at the door the day of, I'll wait and see what the weather's going to do.
Sure.
I am curious how much play that comes into that attendance figure.
Yeah, and I would say there's at least a little bit. So let's talk about TV ratings real quick, because a couple things I want to talk about and get a soapbox about. So TV ratings were at 1.4. down from a 2.3. It's a 39% decrease. Now, couple things. That is almost as bad as Kentucky. We're talking about Bristol.
Yeah.
Was almost as bad as TV rating as Kentucky. But this is what pisses me off. They put Bristol on NBC Sports. They didn't put it on the NBC.
Mm-hmm.
They put the freaking truck race on Fox, but they cannot put the cup race on NBC regular. What's it competing against? America's Got Talent reruns?
I don't know.
I think that's what it was. I think it was America's Got Talent rerun.
I don't get it.
You're talking about the biggest sporting event of the weekend, and you're going to put it on a substation like that? NASCAR and these TV channels have to get their heads out of their tushes and get that fixed.
I'm sure it has to do with their pocketbooks, but yeah, I don't agree, and I don't understand it.
Sorry, folks, a little worked up on that.
So
get tired of it. Yeah, it's just, we're constantly seeing it where they have a chance to really make some headroom here with some great racing, and they're not capitalizing on it.
Yeah.
All right, fans, we're now welcoming Amber Balkan to the show. Thank you very much for calling in and joining us on the show. So this past week, it was announced that there's going to be a new CMT series, Racing Wives, and you're going to be one of the stars of the show. How did this come about? Did they approach you? Did you approach them? Because it looks like you have a little bit of TV experience as it is.
Yeah, they actually approached me. I've created a relationship with Samantha Bush over the past few years. I did a pilot of another TV show with her a few years ago. It didn't get greenlit, didn't go to air or anything. So, but that's how I initially met Samantha. And she followed me on Instagram and kind of was following my story along and seeing my first year on pavement, saw that I won Rookie of the Year. And was starting to see my accomplishments and my talent as a driver, and she actually gave me a call and said, you know, it'd be really cool to have your race for KBM. And I said, wow, like, that would be a dream come true. But of course, finances are a big part of the sport, and I just didn't have the finance to do so at that moment. But we always kept in touch, and the CMT was already, the show was already done, that they had finished the pilot, but they were actually looking for one more person. And Samantha Bush had told them about me and said, look, she's not a wife or a girlfriend of a driver, but she actually is a driver, and she has got a pretty cool story. If you would like me to put you in touch with her, I can do that. So CMT called me and asked about my story and what I was all about, and interviewed me, and they ended up really liking me. So that's kind of how the show came about.
That's awesome. That is awesome, man. So it sounds like you and Samantha are almost BFFs.
Well, I mean, I'm definitely thankful for all the work that she's, done for me. Like, getting me the show introducing me to the show is really cool. So, life is all about who you know and about creating contact and maintaining relationships. And, you know, I knew it was important to maintain that relationship with Samantha Bush if I'd ever be in a KBM car.
Absolutely.
I'm very, very thankful for our friendship and our relationship going forward.
Awesome. And talking about Samantha, her husband obviously is a very polarizing character. I'm sure you've, hear it, see it. Have you met Kyle yourself, and what's your take from him?
Yeah, I've met Kyle quite a few times. I'd love to tell you lots about it, but I can't because it will ruin the show.
Oh.
But he definitely appears in the show, and it's a really cool aspect of it. But I mean, he's one of those drivers, love him or hate him, you gotta respect him. He's a talented race car driver, and I have a lot of respect for him.
That's awesome. Hey, Amber, this is Lugs. Congratulations on the show.
Thank you.
No problem. Tell us a little bit about it. I know it's on CMT, but when can we catch the premiere and the time and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so it will premiere early January. The date has not been released yet, but it is towards the beginning of the season, so it'll be kicked off before Daytona, which I'm really excited about. I really hope to get sponsorship for that full-time ride next year so that all the fans watching the show can watch me race Daytona in February as well.
That is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Daytona obviously is the pinnacle of anything racing, pretty much. What's the biggest race you've been in so far?
That's a hard one. Probably, again, I can't really talk about it because it's part of the show, but I would say you guys will definitely have to watch the show.
We will,
definitely.
If there was a race that I would be racing on that show, that would probably be my biggest one, so you'll have to tune in to see if that happens or not.
Okay. I think we're definitely going to watch the show. And I'll be honest with you, I hate reality TV. But this show actually intrigues me because, like I said, the whole polarizing thing with Kyle and Samantha's on the show, Ashley's on the show. And now researching you, learning about you, becoming a big fan of who you are and the story that you had to tell.
You.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not going to lie. I did not know enough about you until I did a lot of research, and man, you're an amazing person.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, I'm definitely an underdog. That you know, underdog in NASCAR, that's for sure. So I'm just kind of working my way and see how far I can get in the sport. It's a very tough industry, but I love it so much. I love being behind the wheel. I love being in a race car. The fans are awesome, and I just hope to be a part of the sport as long as I can.
Yeah, and I think you have a great future ahead of you. I mean, I think right now, Lugs, I think we're talking to a future superstar.
I think we are, actually.
Amber, I appreciate that, guys. I just need to find that sponsorship backing to help get me there. That's been my biggest struggle, and I mean, I know I'm not the only one that has this struggle as well. There's lots of drivers that are out of seats right now just because of funding.
Yeah, I mean... Well, sorry, excuse me. But no, like, for example, you bring that up. Martin Truex Jr., for example, has nothing guaranteed for next season. We're talking about a champion just last year.
Yeah.
And that's just exactly. Crazy finances of the sport.
Exactly. And that's what's so mind-blowing is, you know, people will say to me, you won races, you're marketable, you're this, you're that. How do you not have a sponsor? And I said, look at Martin Truex, look at Jimmy Johnson. These are champions of the sport, and they still have question marks whether who's going to be their sponsor, if they'll even have one next year. It's a tough, tough industry, and unfortunately, winning races just isn't enough anymore.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, so Amber, tell me this. I know that this show, I'm assuming it takes place in the U.S., right? But you're from Canada, so are you a resident of the U.S. currently? Or are you kind of bouncing back and forth? Or tell us about that.
Yeah, that's correct. The show was mainly filmed in Charlotte, North Carolina. I live actually now about 20 miles north of Charlotte in the Lake Norman area where a lot of the drivers actually live. I'm from Canada. I moved to North Carolina about 2.5 years ago. To pursue my racing dreams. As you guys know, you're in racing, that's the place.
That's
to
where
be.
You gotta be, yep.
If you're a country singer, you move to Nashville. If you wanna be an NASCAR driver, you gotta live in Charlotte. So I got my athlete visa a few years ago and made the move, and I absolutely love living in North Carolina. I just think it's a place full of opportunities, and I really, really enjoy living there.
And bringing that up, I seen something on Twitter earlier. So you love living in North Carolina. Is it because they don't give you tickets?
Yeah. So Canada is awful for speeding tickets. There's just cops everywhere. And I came back to Canada last week, and I was driving to another province. My boyfriend's a professional football player, so I was driving to watch his game. And I got a $500 speeding ticket.
Ooh.
All the way down. And then, yeah. And then on the way back, I was like, all right, Amber, like, don't speed, like, you can't afford any more tickets. And I wasn't really speeding, I didn't think, but the police officers seemed to think otherwise.
Right.
So I got pulled over again. Luckily, this time I talked my way out of it, but I'm like, man, these cops are just on me, like, lay on rice. Like, this is nuts.
I understand that. So I got a little bit of a confession here. I have been pulled over now 16 times. and I have not gotten one single ticket.
What?
Yeah, isn't it? I'm the luckiest person.
That is remarkable.
Yeah, thankfully half
I
those
feel like
times.
You should get an award.
Yeah, right. I thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, half the times is guys I went to high school with or I know because we live in small town USA. But the other half it wasn't. It's just one. I'm always honest. You know, you were speeding. Yeah, you're right. I was speeding. I was going 30 over the speed limit. I apologize. 30. I won't do it again for at least a couple days. And you know that they usually respect that. So, unfortunately, I don't have the looks going for me. So that does not work in my favor. But you definitely should have that, you know, in the bag.
Well, I'm super impressed by you right now, to be completely honest. Like that's amazing. But yeah, no, it doesn't matter. I still get tickets. They like to write tickets here. I actually got an award from our mayor of Winnipeg, the city I'm from. I think it was last year. And we joked about how I've paid for probably half the streets in Winnipeg through the amount of speeding tickets I've gotten. Because it's just so bad. But, I've lived in the States 2.5, almost 3 years now, and I've never gotten a speeding ticket in the States.
So how much of the U.S. have you got to tour and see and get to experience so far?
I've actually been to probably close to 30 of the states. I'd say about 25 to 30. And I know that with racing, it'll just take me more places. And, you know, I was able and fortunate enough to get to visit this many places because of racing. And as I hopefully move up the ranks of NASCAR, I'll get to go to even more places.
Yeah, and you've already been to more places than most Americans have, so congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
So you got your start in dirt track, and then you moved to the asphalt. Have you ever raced at a track in Indiana called Tri-State Speedway?
I did not. Most of my dirt track racing, I was in the northern states, mostly North Dakota, Minnesota. I also raced in Manitoba as well. I was mostly just the northern states. There's tons of dirt tracks on my bucket list that I have not got to race. I mean, Eldora, Knoxville. I was able to run the Chili Bowl in Tulsa, which was probably one of the highlights of my dirt track racing career. That was so much fun.
Oh, wow.
But I did not, I've never got to race there. Nope.
And it's just a local track to us that we know quite well. And, you know, Tony Stewart's been there multiple times, Kyle Larson, et cetera. Didn't know if you had a chance to experience BFE Indiana, where there's literally nothing but cows and corn.
I have not. Nope.
So what at what point in your life did you say, man, this really sucks as a hobby. I want to do this as a career.
I mean, even if it's just a hobby, I'd be happy. I just love being behind the wheel. But it kind of came to when I was in college. I got my 2-year business degree. I went back for my 4-year. And I was sitting in class one day listening to a professor, and I was just kind of had an aha moment. And I was like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, I don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sit at a desk for the rest of my life. Like, I just feel like that's not what's meant for me. I feel like I'm meant to do more and meant to do bigger things. And I just kind of had a talk with myself. Well, what do you want to do, Amber? And he said, well, I want to race cars. Well, let's get after it then. And I went home to my parents and said, I'm going to try and be an NASCAR driver. They looked at me like I was crazy. And here I am today.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. There's not many people that are able to just, you know, act on their dreams and just pursue it like that. So that's truly awesome.
Yeah, but you know what, Lugs? We did. We started a NASCAR podcast.
We're one of the few, then. What can we say?
Yeah. And me and Lugs know your pain about sitting through business class. We both have business degrees. Yeah, we would find a way out of that, too.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. But, you know, going after your dreams is tough, too. I mean, there's a lot of years that, you know, I just didn't think I could do it. And there's a lot of times where you don't do it, you want to give up, but you just keep pushing because simply you can't imagine doing anything else. And I'm definitely not where I want to be in my career. I wish I was a lot farther, but it doesn't mean, just because I'm not there now doesn't mean I can't get there. So just gotta keep working for it.
Yeah, it's impressive with your drive that you have.
So Amber, kind of on that question, so what would you be doing if you weren't a NASCAR driver? I know you've done some hosting, and you've been a spokesperson for, I think, a tire company, correct? Can you tell us a little bit about that, and what would you be doing if you weren't racing cars?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I definitely like helping people and, I like to empower and inspire people, and racing gives me that platform to be able to do that, especially as a female. It has a little different niche there to be able to empower the younger women. But I really like speaking engagements, and that's kind of how the Cal Tire came about. I was their spokesperson. I knew a little bit about tires through my racing, and mm-hmm. I did their entire winter campaign, which was a lot of fun. I definitely did it again. It was a good time, a good experience. So I really enjoy speaking. When I was little, I used to want to be a singer, but I have a terrible singing voice, so that wasn't going to work out. But I don't know what I'd be doing if I wasn't racing. I just love it so much. I love everything about it. But I hope to continue to do a little bit more speaking engagements moving forward. And ideally, I'd like to run a couple of my own businesses one day.
Awesome. That is awesome. So another question for you. I'm just kind of all over the place, so I apologize. But when it comes to race day, how do you prepare? Do you have any pre-race rituals? Do you get into like a simulator? You do any iRacing, anything like that?
Yeah, during the week, I do absolutely everything I can to prepare going forward. I'm really big into fitness. I work out a lot. Females naturally aren't as strong as males, so I make sure that my strength is up there, my cardio, my endurance. I really work a lot on the physical aspect of it, especially those long races in pavement cars. It's totally different from dirt, so I've had to get my body acclimated to those heat conditions. and just how long the races are.
Right.
Definitely hydrate. That's a huge thing in pavement racing as well, is keeping hydrated and watch a ton of video, especially if I haven't been to the track before, which is mainly the case since I don't have a ton of experience on pavement. And I don't do too much simulator racing. I did buy iRacing a few years ago. I want to get back into it, though. I think it's definitely important for me to get back into it. I just need a little better of a system, I think. But the day of, I really try to just keep a calm, relaxed mind. I used to get really stressed and really in my head, and I realize the more calm I am, the more I try to just enjoy it, the better I usually do. So on race day, it's really just about keeping calm, being hydrated, and do what you know. You know, if every athlete, once you do everything you can to prepare up to that game or up to that race, and once you get strapped in, just really do what you know.
Yeah, and preparation is definitely key.
That's awesome, yeah.
Talking about iRacing, I actually just bought iRacing, what was it, Lugs, like 2 weeks ago?
Not even.
Man, I freaking suck. It is so tough. I feel like I'm my...
I suck too.
Well, see, Lugs and I are talking about, he's getting ready to get it as well. We're going to try to start like a wrecking and racing cup or something. So you should join us sometime so we can all suck together and just run into each other, yeah. Run into the wall.
She'll kick our butt though.
Yeah,
so.
I know. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like once you do it more, you get better at it, though. I think it's just I didn't do it that much, and I wasn't very good at it, so it made me frustrated. I'm like, oh, this is nothing like the real thing. And so I kind of gave up on it, but I think I need to go back to it, and I think the more you do it, the better you'll be.
Yeah, I hope so. My wife hopes so because, you know, I'm over a grand into it with the equipment I bought, so...
Yeah,
she definitely hopes that
it's not cheap. Yeah, yeah.
I think she wants to make sure I get my money's worth and just don't say screw it and stop playing it. So, which is a fear of mine.
Yeah, I hear you there.
Hey Amber, so I gotta ask, and you know maybe you're a little partial here to someone on your TV show, but who's your favorite Cup driver? If you gotta pick one, who's your favorite Cup driver right now?
I honestly don't have one favorite. I always get asked that question and have such a hard time choosing because, uh-huh. You know, I can think of a dozen that I really like for different reasons. I mean, Kyle Busch, I like him for his talent, his intelligence. He really understands racing, understands the cars. He's a hard worker. I mean, all his employees respect him so much. He's just a driver. Mm-hmm. Then there's Kyle Larson. I really respect him because of how easy he made that transition from dirt to pavement. It's not as easy as he makes it look, and he's just a hell of a wheel man. I don't know. It's tough. You know, when Danica was racing, you know, I had to be behind her and support her as a female. I hope that we get some more females in the top three series soon. I think it's good for the sport. Bubba Wallace. I think he's a great personality for the sport.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah, we've
like
met
I said,
Bubba.
There's just so many Jimmy Johnson. I mean, he's in my opinion the GOAT for sure. And there's just so many good drivers, and there's different reasons to respect each and every one of them. So it's hard to pick just one. Oh, also we got DJ Kennington in the top series now too. He's a Canadian, and
yeah.
We haven't had a Canadian in the Cup Series for a long time. So
yeah, a lot of people didn't know that. That DJ is a Canadian. Yeah. So being a Canadian, obviously, I'm sure hockey's on top of your list of like sports you like.
Yeah, that it's so funny because I really did not watch any hockey. And then our Winnipeg Jets, we got them back. We lost them for a while, we got them back, I wanna say 6-7 years ago or so. So, you know, everyone around you is into it. So I started watching a little bit here, a little bit there. Then kind of stopped watching, and then actually my boyfriend's brother is Ryan Reeves. He plays for the Las Vegas Knights, and he was in the finals in the Cup. So
yeah.
I definitely am a Vegas Knights fan now because of him. But honestly, other than racing, it was always football. I love NFL, and then my boyfriend plays football too. So watching him, I really like football. That's my number one sport after racing.
So, okay, football, that's my wheelhouse. I'm not a huge hockey fan. I do like the Las Vegas Knights. One is their new team. I love their colors, their symbol, and then how badass they were that first year going to the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
I mean, I became a fan of them. But talking about football, what's your favorite football team now? You got me interested in that.
Yeah, so it was the Vikings forever.
I'm sorry.
Super close to Winnipeg, where I'm from, and I was a huge fan of Brett Favre and Adrian Peterson. But then I moved to North Carolina, so I kind of had to be a fan of the Panthers. So I know you're not supposed to have two favorites, but my two favorites are the Panthers and the Vikings.
That's me. That's kind of understandable, except for I think it'd be a lot better if you just stood with Minnesota, you know. But I'm not a real big Panthers fan. I don't really like Cam Newton, but that's a whole different story. So no team is as good as my favorite Cowboys.
So. I was gonna say, who's your team?
Yeah, I get crap all the time about it. So I'm still living in the early
'90s. That's okay. Hey, at least you're sticking with the team, right?
Yeah, exactly. So who inspired you the most in your life when it comes to racing? Like, is there one driver you looked up to, such like a Janet Guthrie? Or is it like, I know your family's, you know, family racers. Was it someone in your family?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't have a specific question for that. Because for me, it's people who inspires me the most are people who are the underdogs and work really hard to get where they are and are successful at it. You know, there's a couple people that I know in the motorsports industry. One of them is Sarah Price. She was an X Games. Now she does some trophy truck stuff and Baja stuff. And I just see how hard she works and how successful she is at it. And that's really inspiring to me. And as far as cup drivers and stuff, just anyone who works really hard to get to the top, and when it's not handed to them and they appreciate it, that's what inspires me. It's really cool to look at people at the top and say, wow, like, they started where I started, and if they can get there, maybe I can get there too.
Yeah, that's great. So, you know, we're all a little goofy and funny. We all have that one racing movie we love. What's your racing movie that you just love?
Oh, man.
Is it Ricky so Bobby? Rough. Is it Trickle, Cole Trickle?
Days of Thunder.
Yeah. You go, like, back to the older Days of Thunder or the more recent, which, like, the Ricky Bobby, the Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
And, like, for animated Cars, the Cars movie is pretty good, too. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of good ones.
Yeah, you know, I was given crap before because I watched the Cars 3 movie. But in my defense, I do have a 7-year-old daughter. So she may not have been there the day I watched it, but I still watched it. It is a very good movie. Very good movie.
So, Amber, when is your next race?
As of right now, I have no races lined up. I'm working hard on sponsorship for 2019 to get a full package together. Ideally, I'd like to race a full season of ARCO with some K&N races. I really just want to get on those big tracks, get to Daytona, Talladega, and start preparing myself to race Xfinity at that level.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I would love to, you know, pit you against Natalie Decker or Haley Deegan or Tony Bradinger, you know, one of them. I think you would dominate them.
Thank you. I mean, if I didn't believe in my talent, I wouldn't keep going for it, but I really do believe that I have what it takes to get to the front. And I mean, I've won in every class I've raced in, and I just need that opportunity. I need that financial backing, like those emails that you just mentioned already have, and unfortunately that's what it takes to get the opportunity, is the financial backing, but doesn't mean we can't get there.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that, you know, the CMT special and maybe even this podcast, even as a tiny nugget, helps you out with that.
Well, I really appreciate you guys having me on. I mean, I always take advantage of every opportunity, because I mean, that's what it's about. When you're the underdog, you just gotta turn your weaknesses into opportunities, and that's what I try to do.
Yeah. So a couple more, like, little questions. I seen on eBay that someone has, like, a hero card or a picture of you autographed for sale. Is that when you know you're hit the big time, is whenever your autographs are for sale?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. I don't think so. I mean, like I said before, I think I have a long, long ways to go, but I'm excited for what's ahead, and I'm grateful for every opportunity I've already had, but I definitely don't think I've made it big time yet, but that is pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm not going to see how much it was going for, because I think that it was a low bid offer, but you should check it out. If you haven't already, you should check into it. It's very, very interesting. I wish I was important enough to have my autograph on eBay. You know what? I might just sign something tonight and put it on eBay for shits and giggles.
Why not, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, I just said...
I'll make a bid.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So I just said shits and giggle on air here, which is fine because we're a podcast. We can say what we want. What's your favorite cuss word? Like, when you have that moment and you just get so mad at someone, what's your favorite cuss word you like to use?
I can say it. Are you saying it right now?
Yeah, sure, it's a podcast. We're not censored by the FCC or anything.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, perfect. That's the all-around most useful word in the English dictionary. Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
It can be used in so many ways, so many, yeah, it's very diverse.
Yeah, you know? Like this podcast is f***ing awesome. And this interview is going very well, so thank you. What kind of like stuff do you do in your free time? Besides, I know you head up your organization and you're trying to get sponsored, but like to wind down, do you do any kind of hunting or fishing being from Canada, or do you play video games? What kind of recreational activities?
Yeah, I mean, most of my time is just spent looking for sponsorships so that I can race. And then obviously the filming took up a big portion of this summer as well. And to relax or just other hobbies would be, I'd really enjoy football. I mean, watching my boyfriend play is super fun to me. It's relaxing but exciting at the same time. And, like, just the whole sports atmosphere is such a great atmosphere, whether at a NASCAR race, NFL game, whatever. It's just, it's really energizing to be around. So I love doing that. I'm also a adrenaline junkie, so snowboarding, snowmobiling, wakeboard, like honestly anything that will get me going. I love cliff jumping. That's actually something I've really gotten into.
Cliff jumping,
last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cliffs to jump off of.
I'll pass on that one.
If you guys know of any in North Carolina, let me know.
Yeah, right. Right. I would definitely crap my pants. Yeah, I kind of want to go skydiving sometime, but then I don't. Just a thought.
That is on my bucket list. I've not done that. For sure. Skydive.
Well, good luck, and don't hit the ground without a parachute. So I do have a favor to ask, actually. I need you to do me a favor and talk to your boyfriend Jordan for me. I see in a couple weeks, in the month, he's playing Montreal. Ask him to sack Johnny Manziel for me, because I cannot stand Johnny Manziel.
Okay, I will ask him.
Yeah, I cannot stand Johnny Manziel.
Is he playing? For some reason, I thought that they, like, cut him completely and, like, he's done.
I thought they moved him over to Montreal and he played. He started two games for them and he threw.
Who was he with before? Was it the Eskimos? Edmonton?
No, it wasn't Edmonton. It was, oh, crap. I know he played him, but he sat on the bench the whole time because I looked up the stats today. I can't remember the name of the other team, but.
I know he played the team, but I remember they didn't even start Johnny Manziel, and I guess they interviewed him.
But I am a fan of you, Amber, and this interview, again, has been awesome. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. So one last thing before we let you go, is there anything you want the fans out there to know about you that we don't already know?
The fans that I already do have that are listening, thank you so much for supporting me. My journey has been up and down. Hopefully it's just going up from here, but I appreciate the continuous support. To my new fans, thank you for supporting me. To anyone else, thanks for listening, and never give up on your dreams. Keep pushing.
Fantastic. I think Lugs might have one more.
Yeah, Amber, just to throw one piece in there, we've had quite a few inquiries from people asking, hey, when's the podcast going to be up? So that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think it's going to help out. And, you know, we're actually a newer podcast, so I really thank you for coming on because we're still the little guys, kind of like you are. We're struggling. We're trying.
That's but we're going to get there, just like you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, ma'am.
For sure. 100% will support you guys no matter what. Like
yeah,
I
don't
said,
don't
I'm,
forget
I'm,
us whenever you're a superstar.
I'm an underdog, so yeah, I'll do whatever I can to help you guys as well.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much. And yes, when you be that next superstar, please, please, please call back in.
I would love to. Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely. You have a great night.
Thank you.
Okay, fans, you can always catch Amber on the CMT series Racing Wives starting in 2019. Follow her Facebook page, her Twitter. Just check her out. She was it was awesome. Fantastic. Lugs and I
absolutely.
Are now forever fans.
Yep. You should be too.
Yeah, absolutely. So check her out. Make sure you watch her. And, you know, she's a hardworking girl. You know, show her some love. Send her, you know, if you happen to own a business or something, sponsor. This girl works hard, and she'll give you every amount of return that she can. So, anyway, folks, thank you for listening to the interview. Appreciate her. So, the other news for the week, kind of a different type of news. So, first thing I want to start off with, I don't have it on my notes here, but sent my scene right before we started the show, is you know how Greg Biffle was forced to pay $1 for spying on his wife? So, now they did a punitive damage ruling on him.
Okay.
He owes her $275,000. So, it's actually $275,000 and $1 he owes her.
Wow.
For invasion of her privacy.
Wow.
Biffle, you're a perv. Right?
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know how to react to that. I didn't know about that till you just told me. But I kind of expected it to be maybe more than that.
Yeah.
Big news here. I can't believe you didn't start with this one, but Casey Kane's retiring, man.
Yeah, I have it on my notes here.
Do you want to talk about perv Biffle first?
Well, Casey, that news broke literally right after our podcast.
Yeah, it did. The very next day.
early morning, like, mm-hmm. Soon as we woke up, it was posted. So, it is kind of sad news. I mean, because he has been a staple of sport for a long time.
Yeah, and we, you know, we're including him in our silly season speculation. We thought maybe he was going to be part of Levine family and what they had going on with maybe Toyota. Now we have no idea, but we're certainly going to miss Casey.
Yeah, very much.
And you know what's crazy is that a few days ago I read he turned down talks or discussions with Stuart Haas.
Yeah, I've seen that as well.
I cannot believe that. Cannot believe that. Yeah, Casey's what, 39 now?
I have no idea. He looks like he's 12 still.
He does. But still, man, he's got another at least 5 competitive years. He just needs the good equipment.
Yeah, and the guy is older than us. The guy is very capable, as we know.
Yeah.
Very capable.
So, man, I just can't get that out of my head. Like, for me, I mean, I guess when you know it's time, you know it. You know, I don't know, but gosh, you know, as much as competitive as racers are, and to get that opportunity, I'm just kind of looking at that like, I don't know if that's the decision I would have made, but
exactly. And on a sad note, something I want to bring up: did you see Caleb Hammond?
I did. Yeah,
the poor 11-year-old boy with leukemia decided to stop his treatments. So he's asking for people to send racing stickers for us. I'm pretty sure he's been overwhelmed with them.
Yes.
But folks, if you have any kind of racing sticker you're willing to give up for this poor 11-year-old kid, message us and we'll get you his address. Okay. We're gonna send a sticker ourselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're gonna send one of our logo stickers to him. So folks, definitely a sad moment, but let's congratulate him on his life, what he has lived, being a racing fan, and you know, just let's send him off in a good fashion.
Absolutely. So next we'll talk about, did you see Furniture Row secured BK Racing's assets today?
It wasn't Furniture Row.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Front Row did.
All this talk about Furniture Row.
Yeah, and that's funny because I didn't know Front Row was even a player for it. Because everything I kept hearing was, I can't remember his name now. It works for GMS, Mead or Billy Mead, something like mm-hmm. that. That he was going to buy and team up with GMS for a cup car for GMS.
Yeah, and they were close to getting it from what I heard.
Yeah, and now it went to Front Row Motorsports, who are already field 2 cars that aren't competitive.
They want another one.
Yeah, maybe they're hoping for like the whole Furniture Row type feel and maybe partner with somebody and get that alliance and move up, possibly.
Who knows? Yep. Did you see Oscar Mayer is teaming up with Roush?
The Wienermobile.
Yeah.
Kansas going to be driving the Wienermobile at Darlington. Yeah,
Darlington. That sounds like it was a very last-minute sponsor. It was.
And it's in a way, kind of a throwback because the whole Wienermobile used to be a big thing, right? Mm-hmm, back mm-hmm. then. I mean, the car's not a throwback paint scheme, but it's kind of, I guess, throwback idea.
Still cool to see a new sponsor. I don't remember them ever sponsoring.
True. Before. Very true.
So cool to see a new sponsor, even if it's just for one race.
And Denny Hamlin's throwback, you see that one?
I did not.
Yeah, so it's black and white. It goes back to his dirt track days, his real early days. He's, you know, his parents put in a lot of work and money to help support him. So it's back to looking like his original dirt car he started off with.
Hmm.
But it's kind of like a black top and bottom, and then the middle is white.
Okay,
I'll it's check actually it out. Not a bad looking car.
I did see Ty Dillon's throwback. Did you see that?
I read something about, but I did not actually see a picture of it.
Yeah, so it's kind of a throwback to the old Casey Mears throwback scheme of, I think, like 2007, 2006, maybe around that era. So,
talking about paint scheme, you're staying with that theme of paint scheme. Did you see Matt DiBurritos?
Yeah, I did.
Was that Martinsville or Richmond or?
Richmond, yeah.
Richmond.
Spooky it's, Halloween.
Yeah, it's got like Snoopy and stuff on, but it's kind of like a Halloween themed car. It's actually a good looking car.
Yeah,
I don't
understand how a Fusion has a sponsor, CorvetteParts.net, though.
Let's not go there. At least it's a sponsor.
I don't know.
At least it's a sponsor.
It is. No, yeah, it's cool, but I'm just saying.
All right, and let's talk about rumors.
Silly season. Let's do it.
Yeah, so there's this. We're going. What we're telling you right now is a lie because it'll be guaranteed to change tomorrow.
That's what happened last week. Yeah, as soon as we did all of our speculation, it changed in 24 hours.
Exactly. But anyway, now there's talk of Daniel Hemric coming up into a cup car, possibly RCR or another team, and then as we know already about Cole Custer. And
is that a little early? I mean, kid hasn't even won an Xfinity race.
I think so. I think it's early. But I don't know.
I agree.
So the other big rumor out there is about AJ Allmendinger getting the boot for Ryan Preece.
I really haven't heard that, though.
You haven't heard that? I've seen it on a couple different places. But you know what? It's all rumor. Who freaking knows anyway?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything. And I did see Busher's Baked Beans sign like another 3-year agreement with
Chris Buescher.
JTG Daughtry, yeah.
Yeah,
so
let me ask you, or not ask you, let me throw this out there for you. Mind blowing situation. Ready? Chris Buescher has sponsorship for the next 3 years. Martin Truex and Jimmy Johnson do not. Bam! Mind blowing.
Johnson does. We just don't know what it is yet. But yes, that is alarming about Martin. So.
And it's all about, and we actually, if you listen to our interview with Amber, we had this discussion because she's in the midst of this right now. It's all about the money.
Yep.
Money, money, money.
Even though you're winning and pumping out championships,
you're still struggling. Yep. And you got people like Amber who is working her tail off trying to get these sponsorships.
Exactly.
And it's such a hard thing.
Yep.
So you have to, you know, admire a girl like her that's working as hard as she is.
So, absolutely. Next point in the silly season rumor. So, sounds to me like this is actually going to happen more than a rumor, but Kurt Busch potentially leaving Haas, right?
Right.
That's what we're hearing. So, they asked him after the win. He said, I haven't decided on anything. There's still time. You need to ask or talk to Chip Ganassi about it. So, to me, it sounds like he's waiting out his options, maybe, but he's certainly entertaining the fact that he could take over for McMurray.
I think after this weekend, his chances have increased to make.
Well,
his
yeah,
choice.
Win's gonna help anybody in the pocketbook and the morale and several other factors. But weren't they talking about John Hunter Nemechek possibly stepping in the
yes.
one?
Yes, yeah, they sure were.
So.
I mean, there's just so many rumors that we really don't know until it happens.
Where would McMurray go? Did we speculate that last week?
Some people think he'll retire. We didn't really speculate, but some people think he'll retire. I think he'll go to LFR
could,
now, for example.
Well, that, or could he go to the 41, just do a ride swap?
I don't think that would happen. I think he is too far past his potential prime for Stewart to want to invest money like that.
But let's...
I mean, you can bring in a younger,
maybe,
more marketable
maybe,
person.
Maybe, but... We all know things have to mesh to be successful in NASCAR, right? How many times have we seen so many drivers work with one particular crew or crew chief and they set the world on fire, but then, you know...
Or vice versa, didn't, and then they switched to a team that they did. Truex,
yes,
for example?
Exactly. So how long has McMurray been with Chip Ganassi?
A while now.
Exactly. Day
while.
One. Day one, back in the Dodge when he drove for Sterling. Yeah. He filled in for Sterling and went out and won. So who's to say he wouldn't step into a Haas machine? And
I'm not saying who wouldn't say it. I personally, the gas man, do not see that. Because in this, we've talked about this last week. This is a product of the environment that you have to be a young guy.
I absolutely don't disagree with that.
But if there is a team with veterans and older people, it is Stuart Haas.
Yeah.
So maybe. I guess it's a possibility. I'm not saying it's not a possibility. I just don't see it happening.
I don't know what... Gosh, it's...
He'd be more fit with LFR than he would be with...
Everything is just so murky. It's hard to say.
It is. Absolutely. We're looking through, you know, beer goggles right now at who's going to place where and whatnot.
Yeah. And so. Truex even said, you know, still nothing confirmed. We don't know. There could be a 2% chance that we will race next year if we get sponsorship. He said there could be 50. I don't know. It all depends on sponsorship. So we'll just have to play it week by week and see what happens.
Amy drivers listening, get this crap figured out and get it settled so us as fans can enjoy the rest of the season.
I love silly season. You know, it is,
but it's kind of stressful. I think about the crap all the time. Like, what could be? And I see people.
It's exciting to me.
It is exciting, but I see people on other posts saying, oh, this is what I think the lineup's going to be next year. You're going to go through each car number, who's going to be driving. I'm like, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. Yeah. You know, you're wrong.
People post some stupid ideas on the forums and stuff.
And people are also not blind to the issues with Furniture Row, I'm sorry, but they don't want to accept the fact that they're struggling to find sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, oh, no, it's there. They're just not telling anybody. I'm not sure that's the case.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about one other thing, right? So we just had three new winners in 7 races.
So basically what you're getting to, Logs, is that Bowman better watch his ass?
Yeah, so you got 4 basically 12 drivers are locked in at this point. We got 4 drivers that are not. That would be Mr. Denny Hamlin, Eric Almirola, Jimmy Johnson, and Alex Bowman. Do we see any changes there? I mean, we got 2 races left before the chase starts.
I don't say no. Points, no. But the only change I might see is someone outside wins, which could, again, someone takes a shot in the dark and risks something.
I don't see that happen at Darlington, and I don't see that happening at Indy. So.
But we've seen it happen at Indy before. We've witnessed it ourselves.
Don't bring that up.
Your favorite race of all time, where Paul Menard won the Brickyard.
I have nightmares about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've seen it before. We could see it again.
I
agree. Darlington, probably not.
Yeah, if there's anything that's uncertain about racing, it's that. So, but I agree. I think those are going to be our 16 drivers at lock-in for the championship. But, you know, we'll find out what happens. 2 races left. I can't believe there's only 12 races left in this season. Where's this season gone?
Yeah, no. So next week, Lugs, there's no race. What are we going to do?
There isn't. I say we speculate. We should map out our brackets. Who's going to advance from 16 to 12?
Oh, okay, we can do that.
To 8 to 4.
You didn't want to bring up our top 10 drivers again?
No, I don't. Hey,
talk about how you were wrong.
You're going to get your panties all twisted up again. So let's get a little taste for that episode. Who's going to have a breakout chase?
A breakout chase. Chase?
16 drivers. Who's going to be the breakout?
Chase.
Think so?
Yeah, because he's been actually one of the most consistent the last few races.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, let's do that. Let's break down, map out our each picks for our championship.
16, yeah, and fans, if there's 12, any questions 8. You want us to answer as well, let
send
us
know. Send us your bracket picks as
well. Yeah, that'd be awesome. WreckingRacing@gmail.com. Send it to us.
To your point, Gasman, so no cup race this weekend. We do have some races in the Truck Series and Xfinity to get your fix, though. Good old road courses. Truck Series is going to be at the Canadian Tire Park, and Xfinity is going to be at Road America, which is always a fun race to watch. So check those out. Bill Elliott's going to be at Road America. So check that out. See that good guy back in action. See how he does. Gasman, you got any final thoughts? I got one last thing.
I think you're probably going to say what I was thinking.
Yeah, so just thoughts going to Robert
Wickens
to the IndyCar crash that happened at Pocono on Sunday. I was actually watching that race. It was just absolutely terrifying and frightening to see the car go up into the catch fence and just absolutely get shredded apart. If you guys follow us on Facebook, you saw probably the video I posted, but just luckily he survived and was airlifted, transported to the hospital, and he's undergone multiple surgeries. But from what I'm seeing, he's got a lot of issues and potentially some spinal issues and surgeries going on. That's never good, but you know, thoughts for him and
yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly where I was going to, So yeah, thank you, Logs.
Sometimes we forget how dangerous the sport can really be. And you know, when something like this happens, it puts everything back in perspective. So regardless of whether you like IndyCar or you like NASCAR, you know, I don't want to see any driver ever injured in any series. So
yeah, exactly. So folks, as always, sorry to take you on such a somber note, but thank you very much for listening. We are fans of the sport, and we're fans of all racing, and you know, we make fun of them occasionally, but we do hope, you know, for speedy recoveries for instances like that. So as again, reach out, follow Amber, amazing person. Follow us if you don't. We're pretty cool on social media.
We try to be.
Yeah, that's for that. We attempt. Anyway, folks, thank you again as always. We love you. We'll talk to you next week.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.